God has a plan for every man, woman, boy, or girl. And you say, well, I believe what you're preaching, but I just don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, I can't tell you what your purpose is. I can't tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Only God can tell you that. You ask Him for direction. You ask Him for guidance. Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. And our title this morning is God's Plan for Every Man. God's Plan for Every Man. This past Thursday afternoon, I had an opportunity that I don't get very often. I got to take my youngest daughter to get her allergy shot. That was a special time. Now, you may wonder, why in the world is that special? Well, we're close-knit, and most of the time when we leave the house, it's all four of us, especially when we're going to the doctor. But Thursday afternoon, I had the opportunity, just me and Libby, to go, and I got to take her for her every 2 week allergy shot. We had not been on the road very far, and she looked at me and she asked me a serious question. She said, Daddy, what do you think I need to do when I grow up? What do you think I ought to do for a living? If you look up proud dad moment in the dictionary, that was it right there. When you're almost about to be teenager daughter, ask her dad for life advice. That is a proud dad moment, and my heart swelled. And I thought for a minute and I said, well, it needs to be something that you have some ability in and something that you enjoy. And then I asked her, what's your favorite subject in school this year? She said math. And there was another, well, she was hitting the dead ringer. She said, I was a math whiz. Math was one of my favorites. And so it was two proud dad moments there. And I explained to her, I said, well, I was good in math too. And everybody told me, you need to be an electrical engineer. So I listened to what everybody else said. And I lasted about a semester and a half and stayed in electrical engineering. Because my heart wasn't in it. And I went on to share with her how I ended up where I am. She's heard the story before. Y'all have heard it several times. I was chairman of deacons at a Baptist church some years ago, and we were during the period of time we didn't have a preacher, and so the lot fell on me to do the Wednesday night messages. And I didn't want to do it. I was kind of like a cat being shoved into a tub of water. Just didn't want to do it until I started doing it. And I realized that God was tugging me in that direction, but it was a surprise to me. I never had that on my radar. And I went on to tell her how I felt the call to preach, and I decided that I needed to resign my spot as chairman of the deacons. And on the night that I did and I preached my last message, I went to the gym and hit my knees and said, God, wherever you lead, I'll go. And 10 o'clock the next morning, I got the call to preach at my first opportunity to preach at First Church. And through the course of that summer, I preached in Philadelphia some. I preached in Starkville a few times, and Matheson even. I went through that way yesterday, and then in Kemper County one time. And now every step of the way, God continued to confirm the calling that I felt like I had been drawn to. And then y'all called me. 4 years ago, last month, I walked through those back doors for the first time. Y'all called me to fill in as Barry was sick, and so I filled in a couple of times in January and a couple of times in February. And on the morning that Barry died, I was scheduled to come here. Connie texted me about 30 minutes before I was to leave home. And I had a message written, had a message prepared, but I knew that I couldn't deliver that message at that particular time. So I crumpled it up and threw it away. And I prayed all the way to Macon that day. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but I know you know. I'm just going to trust you. And God showed up that morning. Everybody was grieving. I was uncertain about what direction I was to go. But God showed up that morning and confirmed my calling even more. And so I went on and told that story to her, and I explained to her that she needs to listen to what God has for her. And so that's the reason I told her that story. I said, you know, really, I can't tell you what you need to do for a living. It's going to be something you've got to look to God for guidance. I can help guide you. I told her, I said, you love to cook. You're good at it. Maybe you could go to culinary school and be a chef or something, work for somebody, or have your own cafe. But ultimately, it's something you've got to pray over and let God lead you. And when He leads you there, you'll know it. I want to talk to you this morning about God's plan for every man. As I told her Thursday, God has a plan for her. God has a plan for me. And God has a plan for every man, each and every one of you here this morning. So we're going to read Exodus 31, and then we're going to talk about a few things that God wants us to know about the plan that He has for each and every one of us. Let's read there, Exodus 31, the first 11 verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. The tent of the meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstands and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you." Let's pray. Lord, as you teach us about the plan that you have for each and every one of us this morning, Lord, speak through me and hide me behind the cross, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. God has a plan for every man, woman, boy, or girl. I want to tell you a few things about God's plan this morning. Number one, God has a purpose for you. God has a calling for you and for me. Look at verse 2. It says, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri." And verse 6, "Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahishamach." God had a purpose for these two men, a purpose for them to fulfill. They were chosen. They were appointed for that very purpose, to be in charge of the craftsmen that were going to construct the tent of meeting and all its utensils. That was their purpose. And we can think about some other examples in the Bible of God choosing somebody or appointing somebody because He had purpose laid out, a purpose in mind for their lives. We think about in Genesis chapter 6, God chose Noah to build the ark. And He called him to build the ark, and He told him to enter that ark with his sons and their wives and his wife and two of each of the animals that were unclean, male and female of each kind, and seven of the birds of their kind, and seven of the clean animals. And we find the purpose for that in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 3. He says to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. God's purpose through Noah was to preserve a remnant of life, both of mankind and beasts. That was the purpose for God calling Noah to build that ark. We think about somebody else in the Bible that God had a purpose for, Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. God called Abraham. He said to him, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you." And we know why. Because God had in mind to form a people that he could call his own. That was the purpose for him calling Abraham. We think about Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock. And he wandered over by the Mount Horeb and encountered that burning bush. And God called to him, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." God said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is on holy ground." And God went on in those following verses to explain how he had heard the cry of his people in Israel, the people in Egypt. And then in verse 10, he gives the purpose to Moses. He says, "So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." In 1 Samuel chapter 3, God called Samuel and used him throughout his life to do mighty works. And just as God had a purpose for these men, God has a purpose for you and for me. God chose them, God appointed them, and he's got the same appointment and same choosing for you this morning. It's individual to you. It's a purpose that it's designed for you. Some may be tempted to say, "Well, I missed my calling. I missed God's purpose for my life. Back in the day, I felt him tugging me in one direction and I just didn't do it. Now I'm too old. That ship has sailed." That's a lie. You know why? Abraham was 75 years old when God called him to go to Canaan. Moses was 80 years old when God called him to go to Egypt and free his people. Noah was 500 years old when God called him to build the ark. So we should never say that I'm too old. I've missed my calling. That's a lie. On the flip side, we can't say that we're too young. Samuel was just a boy when God called him there. I don't think age can be an excuse. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15 and verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Your purpose and my purpose is to bear fruit for the Lord, fruit that will last. That's God's purpose for us. That's God's plan for every man, is for us to bear fruit. When God called Moses, Moses said, "Here I am." When God called Samuel, he said, "Here I am." And God called in Isaiah. God said in Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah's response was, "Here I am." And that should be our response as well. "Here I am, Lord. Send me." God called these people and they answered the call. You know, I go to people's houses sometimes. I'm in the insurance business, and so you go to people's houses sometimes, and you knock on the door, and you hear the little on the floor. Then you knock the second time, and it's hush. You've done it. I've done it, too, growing up. We used to do the same thing. The preacher would come on Sunday afternoon knocking on the door, messing up nap time. "Here comes the preacher. Everybody get quiet. You're laughing because you know it's true. But we do that. We have people knocking, and sometimes we ignore that knock. We have cell phones in our hands, and we get calls, all of us, every day, and we ignore that call. We just either let it ring or we hit ignore. Listen, folks, God has a purpose for you. Listen to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Here's another verse for you. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 is speaking of God. It says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." God has a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl. He has a purpose for you. And he's standing on the door of your heart knocking. He's calling you. Are you answering him or are you ignoring him? Are you ignoring the purpose that he has laid out for your life? The second thing I want you to see this morning, not only does God have a purpose for your life, but God has prepared you for that purpose. He has prepared you for that purpose. Look at verses 2 through 6 again. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. God has prepared you for the purpose that he's laid out for you to do. He had given these men the talents and abilities that they needed to have to fulfill the purpose that he had for them. He gave them those skills. God prepares us for the task that he's laid out for us to do. All of us are born the first time with an inborn set of abilities. Now, I can't draw a decent circle on a piece of paper, but my wife and my two girls can draw amazing things. Some people can pick up a musical instrument of any kind, and within a few minutes they can pick out a tune on it. I don't have that ability. Some have beautiful singing voices, and every time they open their mouth, the notes just effortlessly flow out. Some can take a block of wood or stone and give them about an hour with a chisel and a hammer, and they can form the most beautiful sculpture. One author said this about the inborn artistic abilities that we have. He says, inborn artistic genius and skill is something that defies all logical explanation. I have to disagree with that. I don't know who the author that wrote that was. He said it defies all logical explanation. I give you the explanation. God put it there. God put those skills and those abilities in there from birth. God has given each and every one of us natural talents, natural abilities that we're born with the first time. But let me tell you something else. When we're reborn that second time, we're given another set of spiritual gifts to use in conjunction with our natural talents to do the things that God has laid out for us to do. It talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 through 11 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. God has a purpose for you, and he has prepared you for that purpose by the natural talents and abilities that you got when you were born, and by the spiritual gifts that you get when you're reborn. God's plan for every man and for you is to use that set of talents and that set of spiritual gifts to accomplish the purpose that he's laid out for your lives. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 and 11 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Not only does God have a purpose for your life, and not only does God prepare you for that purpose with those talents and abilities and those spiritual gifts, but the third and final thing I'd have you see, God has positioned you for that purpose. He's placed you where you are for a reason. In verse 2, it says, I have chosen Bezalel. In verse 6, it says, I have appointed Aholiab. God had all these men, and the craftsmen that he talks about in verse 6 too, God had all these men placed where he wanted them to be at the right time, with the right talents, to accomplish the purpose that he had laid out for them to do. And you may be saying, Well, I've got this job that I've got because I needed the job at the time, and that's the only one I could find. That's not so. God has planted you there. You may not think so, but God puts you where He wants you. He positions you for the purpose that He's laid out for you to do. You think about the times in the Bible where God positioned the right people in the right places at the right time with the right gifts. In Genesis, again, chapter 37, Joseph gets sold into slavery by his brothers. Now, I'm sure he didn't want to go there. I'm sure he didn't like it there when he first got there. But through God's providence, God placed him in the right place at the right time when there was going to be a famine in the land. He put him there and he worked his way up by the gifts that God gave him, the gift of interpretation of dreams. He worked his way up to prime minister of Egypt at just the right time when the famine that would have taken everybody's life hit. Joseph had a plan. He had put it into action. He sees that God had positioned him and prepared him for that purpose. And on the backside of it, in Genesis 50 and verse 20, my favorite verse in the Bible, Genesis 50 and verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." We see that God had positioned another person in the right place at the right time with the right talents and gifts. In the book of Esther, Connie mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. I'm going to have to accuse her of stealing my sermon notes. Most Sundays she brings something up in Sunday school that's in my sermon, and she doesn't know anything about it. But God had prepared Esther for the purpose. He positioned her there. And Mordecai said to her, "Who knows but that you've come to your royal position for such a time as this?" For such a time as this. God had positioned her in the right place to be able to rescue the Jews from annihilation. God had prepared her for that purpose. He had positioned her there. Somebody else in the Bible that God had put in the right place at the right time, Saul of Tarsus, who would be the Apostle Paul, on that road to Damascus at just the right time, God struck him down with that blinding light. You see, He called him because He had a purpose for him. He prepared him with the talents and abilities that he had gained as he grew up and was trained under Gamaliel, and the abilities that he had naturally. And then God gave him the spiritual gifts of preaching and teaching that he would need to equip him to do what he needed to do. God had positioned him in the right place at the right time. All of these people, Joseph and Esther and Paul, God in His providence had positioned them right where they needed to be at just the right time to accomplish just what God wanted to do. And God has placed each and every one of us right where He wants us at just the right time. He does not make mistakes. His timing is always right. His positioning is always right. He has a plan for every man, you see. And you say, "Well, I believe what you're preaching, but I just don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my purpose is." Well, I can't tell you what your purpose is. I can't tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Only God can tell you that. You ask Him for direction. You ask Him for guidance. And I can promise you this. If you pray to Him and ask Him, "Lord, wherever, whenever, whatever, I will trust You," I imagine His heart's going to swell like mine did when Libby asked her father, "What should I do?" I felt like the Grinch. My heart swelled three sizes that day. God, when He hears from His children asking Him, "Lord, lead me, guide me, show me what I'm to do," that swells God's heart. You ask Him in prayer. Sincerely ask Him. He says to you and to me, "Call to me and I will answer." That's a promise. He says, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." That's a promise. We need to trust Him in that promise. God has a purpose for you. God has prepared you for that purpose, and God positions you for that purpose. Would you respond as Moses and Samuel and Isaiah did and said, "Here I am, Lord"? Will you let that be your response to God? There may be someone this morning, either this morning here or online, who's never answered the call of God to be saved. He's calling us all for that if we've not already. That's our first calling, to come to Him by faith. Once you take that first step, then He's going to have another calling for you, another purpose for you, and He'll prepare you for it and position you for it, put you right where you need to be. Whatever your response to the Holy Spirit this morning, you do that as we stand and as we sing in just a minute. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that You do have a calling on our lives. Father, we ask You to help discern what that calling is. Give us the willingness to say to You, "Here I am, Lord." Help us to trust You, to know that You don't make mistakes, and that You will guide us along the way. Forgive us when we fail to do that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.